The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
So I look forward to helping mentor and empower this next generation. And I'm sorry and devastated that the United States of America has one of the biggest problems in this area of all.
Today on First Person, you'll hear our guest, Becky McDonald, tell of her heart's desire to reach out to those who are caught in the web of sex trafficking. Welcome to this edition of First Person. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and you'll hear from our guest in a moment. First, a word of thanks to the Far East Broadcasting Company for making First Person possible here on your station. FEBC is a gospel-centered ministry reaching deep into hard-to-reach countries with the good news of Jesus Christ. Through radio and internet programs, FEBC touches tens of millions of lives every day. Learn more how you can support FEBC by visiting febc.org and seeing the stories of changed lives. That's febc.org. You can learn more about the guest you're going to meet now at firstpersoninterview.com. Becky McDonald is the founder and president of Women at Risk International. Based in Michigan, Becky and those who work with her strive in various ways to create circles of protection around victims of trafficking and abuse. Becky joined me on the phone recently, and as we talked, I asked her to start at the beginning of how God led her to help victims in many countries.
Well, I had the greatest privilege in the world of growing up as an American in Asia and spent all my formative years there from age 5 until college. My father was a doctor and built a humanitarian hospital in East Pakistan, and my mother was an artist, and we moved there when I was 5. With my brothers, and I grew up in lands steeped in traditions of the Taliban. I went to boarding school in West Pakistan and came home for college. By the age of 14, I had been through two wars. At age 7, India bombed us every night, and we did not know if we'd wake up in the morning.
Oh, goodness.
And then at age 14, and through both of these wars, my father and our family stayed there through those wars, so that he could protect the Bangladeshi people. But at age 14, it was the civil war where East Pakistan was attacked by West Pakistan and got its independence and became Bangladesh because the Indian army came to the Bengalis' defense. And I was 14, and my girlfriend, a Muslim girl, was 14, and she was raped and fought back. And to teach her in that particular context, not all Muslim contexts are like this, but right there, it's very, very conservative, fundamental Islam,
mm-hmm.
that she had no voice as a woman. How dare you cry out? How dare you fight back? You are property. We can do anything we want to. They took acid and poured it not in her face, as is usual, but down her throat. And took away her vocal cords forever.
Oh.
And that experience in my life, God used that to burn a hole in my heart and set me on a pathway of being the voice of the silence and just wrapping arms of love around wounded women and children. And yes, we do have 3 programs for men as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just giving them a safe place to rewrite the story of their life, start over, and learn to work with dignity if they're an adult, learn to dream again, go to school if they're children. And so today, Women at Risk is in 55 countries, including the United States of America, and we address 14 different risk issues. So we deal with honor killings and acid attacks and domestic violence and a female circumcision. But we're most known for our fight against human trafficking because all of our 8,000 products are made by rescued and at-risk men and women around the world, including United States of America. And human trafficking is the fastest growing arm of crime. It's growing faster than guns and drugs. And so that's on people's mind. And because people shop, they know us for our fight against human trafficking.
Yeah. Well, you've given us a lot to talk about here, Becky, but I got to take you back because when you had that experience growing up, I mean, this was not on people's radar, was it? There wasn't the term trafficking used. There wasn't really much attention to the abuse of women.
No, in fact, my earliest experience was not with human trafficking. It was with domestic violence. And, you know, we deal with that as well. Human trafficking started really coming to the attention of Asia about and developing countries about 30 years ago. And the West has only in the last 10 to 15 years jumped on this bandwagon and understanding it and putting in place laws and dealing with it. So in the West, we're very behind. The developing world has actually been dealing with human trafficking for a lot longer. It used to be called white slavery because people would comment or it would come to attention when a white person was trafficked and sold against their will and was enslaved. But now, because it's exponential, it's every socioeconomic group, it's every ethnicity, it's everybody, and because it's now the fastest growing arm of crime, which it wasn't before, now people are noticing and governments are stepping in and doing things and responding to the crisis because they have to.
And it's not just in Asia and other parts of the world, it's in our backyard.
Yes, about 12 years ago in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where our international headquarters is, I received a call from law enforcement and began, I had worked with them on panels and that kind of thing, but they actually came to our offices because they were coming to West Michigan, which is very conservative Midwest, you know, three times a week because human trafficking was just that bad, even in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hmm. Today, they have a full-time staff there on that. But they were looking for a six-month-old. We had just rescued a one-month-old, sold at 2 weeks old for $200. And I was sharing with them that the face of trafficking globally is babies. And they were looking for a six-month-old pay-per-view of a live feed that you could sign up to watch an attack of a six-month-old in the United States of America. Mm. And we have seen testimony of six-week-old with the umbilical cord still attached. And I learned then that the FBI estimates in this country, we have international peoples trafficked here, and we have our own American citizens trafficked here. Internationally, about 20,000 come here. And domestically, in this country, Wayne, 300,000 minors, that's your daughter, my daughter, American citizens with constitutional rights, are at risk every year from human trafficking. This is a carnage of the innocent, and this is just really a cry from my heart to whoever's listening to circle their wagon,
yeah,
circle their
course.
Cradle.
Well, we want to put a spotlight on what we can do to help. Becky, I'm shocked to hear about how babies are being trafficked. That's something I hadn't considered much.
Well, you know, without going into a lot of the chemistry and the biology and the details of sexual addiction, there's two kinds of slavery. There's labor slavery and there's sexual slavery. Sexual slavery is by far the bigger of the two. They're both very real. But the nature of that addiction, unlike drugs where you just have to have more, more, more to get the same high, with that addiction, you have to have different, different, different. Mm. And so it goes south and sideways. And so it is a very dark and very broken story. But the really good news, Wayne, is that there are so many stories of healing and men and women and children who put their lives back together and have rebuilt their lives and have incredible stories. And if I was just Chicken Little saying the sky's falling, I would stay home and play with my grandbaby. But I can tell you what we do really works, and I can give you hundreds and thousands of stories. Because I have 30 years of working with risk issues, I have the luxury of hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look back and I can see generational change. One woman that we rescued, she was asked three times, and this is a foreign story, but she was asked three times to go to the red light district to support her family and said no. And finally, they just took her there and left her to be broken. And when we came into her life and offered her a job as a jeweler, she jumped at it. And when her mother came to visit, the grandmother of the girl who now has a daughter, came to visit her, she sat and listened to the worship that's not mandatory, that's offered at every safe house in the morning. Nobody has to go, but her daughter was in there because her daughter had come to know the true and living God.
Hmm.
And when she came out, she asked her mom, said, "I want to know this God you know." And so when I sit and hold a banquet and see that grandmother, mother, and daughter all reunited, all heading in a new direction, it's one thing to rescue one person, and that's wonderful. But to see them reunited as a family generationally, that is systemic change. And so I could tell you stories in America of a girl who was trafficked by her mother in Chicago from age 2 to 11, and her mother hunted at churches. She got close to nurseries so she could babysit and abuse and sell their kids.
Oh.
And when her daughter was set free at 11 by her dad, she got healing, and today she's an incredible mommy. And she's a speaker and a voice for the suffering and a powerful example of how you can put your life back together. And so the good news is that this really, what we do, is not rocket science. It's common sense, which is highly uncommon. It's just being a safe place with unconditional love and walking a journey with wounded men, women, and children, and giving them a chance to rebuild their lives.
And War International is a nonprofit, non-sectarian organization, but what you do in the name of Christ.
We do. We don't, bop anybody over the head with our faith, because we have to earn the right for them to trust us. And so we never offer that at first. But if you know anything about wounded people, they're going to say, why should I trust you? Why are you doing this? Why do you care when nobody cares? And then when they ask that question, we show them why we care, because they're made in the image of the Creator God and they deserve respect. And nobody gets ahead. We have every religion, every non-religion under the sun, under our roof, and they're all welcome. Nobody gets ahead because they agree with me. That's not how faith works. Faith is way too personal. And so we just walk with each person, no matter who they are, no matter what their background, no matter what their belief is, in a journey of healing at their pace. But they always ask why we care. And I love that question. Often they ask that question before they run to us, because they don't trust, and they shouldn't. They've learned not to trust. And so just very quietly and sincerely, we try and be Christ with skin on. We love to love them unconditionally and not judge them, but give them a safe place to start over.
More about Women at Risk International as we continue to meet Becky McDonald today on First Person.
I'm so grateful for the grace I receive while listening to FBC all day long. I cried listening to God's message multiple times.
The Far East Broadcasting Company receives millions of responses each year from grateful listeners. FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Becky McDonald, who is founder and president of Women at Risk International, based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And the acronym is WAR International. This is a war, isn't it, Becky?
Yes, but we fight for peace.
Yep, I understand. I understand. Tell me about some of the creative ways that you address, getting the help to those who need it, the women at risk. What are some of the things you're doing?
Well, we have over 200 programs and partners in over 55 countries, and we do microenterprise, and we do orphanages and schools and clinics and whatever the need is in that area. And when you rescue a woman from being chained to a wall for 11 months, literally, true story, with a shackle around her neck in the back of the house, in the back wall, like an animal sold to whoever comes to the front door, and you rescue her at 7 years old, she doesn't know, even how to boil water. And you have to, in her case, put her in school and put her in a safe place. The day she was rescued and brought into the safe house, I happened to be there, and I was swinging upside down on the swing set with her. And I knew that, she has a long journey of healing ahead of her, but I knew that night she would be tucked in bed by people who would sing lullabies to her and tell her that she had worth and dignity and get to go to school the next day. And we've rescued a boy at 4. His mother brought him to us. She was a slave, and she could not protect him any longer in the red light district. And we raised him, our partner. And today, he became a straight-A student. And today, he started in college in a war scholarship to become an engineer. And so we've graduated doctors and lawyers and school teachers and goat herders and cosmetologists and bakers and candlestick makers, you know, whatever. But you cannot rescue somebody, pat them on the head and say, nasty little life there, go to something nice. You have to empower them somehow, either through education or through job training or both. And so one of the girls and one of our partners was sold by her father in the United States of America to politicians. And ran to a safe house with her mother. And I discovered that she was making sugar scrubs to put herself through high school on her own. And that began our spa line. And so our rescued women in West Michigan, we've processed 107 women and children there, make the spa products. And it's not about money. It's about a living for them while mm-hmm. they put their lives back together, and it gives them worth and dignity. They blend in with all the rest of us there. And one of the women we rescued in the States, I was speaking at Quantico at the Marine Generals conference there, and their wives were fighting over the jewelry that she'd made. And I came back to Grand Rapids and sat down and said, guess what? The most powerful men in Marine Corps' wives are fighting over the work of your hands. And part of her story was rape in the military.
Oh.
And she jumped up, ran around that table and sang a worship song and told her babies, your mama is an artisan. And that blocked out her past and allowed her to get a resume. And actually, I took her to Reba McEntire's studio and we recorded her voice because she has the voice of an angel. And in her case, part of her healing was singing. And when I met her and her terrible, terrible place of business and where she was trapped and offered her way out, she burst into song and sang all 4 verses of His Eye is on the Sparrow. And she's one of my dearest friends today. I just spoke to her yesterday. So I could tell you many stories of women who have found their voice in precious ways and healing at their own pace and giving them that opportunity just to unconditionally step into a place of healing with stitches and counseling and wraparound services and just giving them that safe place, that circle of protection in a culturally sensitive way, because every culture, you know, defines safety differently. Mm-hmm. And so what our programs look like around the world are different because they have to fit that culture.
So you work in partnership with those in other countries?
Yes, we do not ever, anything we start independent from ourselves from day one. And we get a person there who is in charge, and we don't start it and turn it over to them because there's no skin in the game with that. There's no ownership. And the dirty little secret of 150 years of international work and government work overseas is we've created a welfare system, and we want our people to be independent from us. I celebrate that one of the women that I've been helping for 30 years in Thailand is driving a Pajero today and has more money than I'll ever have. And I celebrate that. And she now hires at-risk women. And she was an at-risk widow when I started working with her many years ago. And so our passion is to set them free and empower them to reach into their own society, their own culture, which they know. And so you would never walk into a war partnership and know that we had anything to do with it, because we want them to have their own identity, their own budget, their own board of directors, everything. And so whether we help them from scratch or whether we step in the middle of what they're doing and help assist them and accelerate, we provide whatever their need is for them as we step into those partnerships.
Becky, you've been doing this a long time. You've been giving leadership to this. You've rolled up your own sleeves. You've traveled. You've cried and rejoiced with women around the world. What keeps you going? Why do you do this?
it's a call on my life that I can't walk away from. The thing that keeps me from throwing in the towel is those faces of women who have put their lives back together. The worse the story is, the more energized I am, because when I go to bed at night, I might be drooling with exhaustion or crying with them, but I know they will never be chained to a wall again. I know they will never face that again. I know they have a journey of healing, but I know that they will have opportunity to dream. When I told one woman to dream in Grand Rapids, Michigan, she recoiled and said, "Oh, I've learned never to dream." And I said, "Well, start now. Because until we take this personally, nothing's going to happen. Until it filters down to the doctors, the nurses, and we have trained, Women at Risk have trained thousands of medical professionals. Until it filters down to the bus driver, the truck driver. So every time I speak at Department of Transportation or those places, I show video of one phone call that sets a life free. This is not rocket science. This is just rising up. Einstein said the world will not be destroyed by evil people, but by good people who see evil and do nothing. And this is a cry for a call to action. We have a slavery today with more slaves than ever in time, but we now have an illegal slavery that has more victims than ever. And it's our children. They're targeting 9-year-olds. They're targeting 6-day-olds and 6-month-olds. And our children are the ones who are the most at risk because they're the target. And so my passion is to be a sanctuary, a safe place. And I have great hope for the future, even though this is the fastest growing crime, because this generation is going to rise up and do Micah 6:8. This is what the Lord requires of us: to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And my generation is not really great at that. We just kind of play at that. But this generation that's coming up is going to make a difference. And they are going to be the voice of the silenced in a way that our generation has not. And they are going to fight for peace. And so I look forward to helping mentor and empower this next generation to take over these issues and become that circle of protection. And I'm sorry and devastated that the United States of America has one of the biggest problems in this area of all. And we just don't talk about it.
You can hear the passion in Becky McDonald's voice as she advocates for those caught in the web of sexual trafficking and abuse. Again, she's the founder and president of Women at Risk International, based in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area, but with a worldwide network. There's a link to more about our guest and the organization at firstpersoninterview.com. And if you'd like to circle back and listen to our interview again or share what you've heard with someone else, please visit firstpersoninterview.com. You can also make use of our free smartphone app to download any interview to listen to at your convenience. Search for the app in your app store. It's available for both Apple and Android devices. Whether it is in the inner cities of Asia and Eurasia or in remote jungles, the Far East Broadcasting Company is doing everything it can to reach people with the message of the gospel. In nearly 50 countries, FEBC broadcasts on radio and the internet, reaching millions of people in their own language. Please visit febc.org and find out more about this faithful witness for Christ. Video testimonies are available online at febc.org. Once again, the Far East Broadcasting Company at febc.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer, Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. I hope you'll join us again next time for First Person.